protect my virginity. And if you get that ass on my body, I'm gonna hit you back with chastity. I know you really want a bone, but please leave me the hell alone. If you want sex, then please don't slide in my DM. I just wanna get inside your pantry and fetch a can of please don't depend me. I just wanna have a conversation. There's gonna be a mass evacuation if you don't get that ass away from me, so I can protect my virginity. And if you get that ass on my body, I'm gonna hit you back with chastity.
You have to.
The move is all that kills you.
Yo.
Exactly.
Welcome back to Tubos. As you can hear,
I'm taking the lead. I'm the captain now.
Well done, Phil.
It's my ship.
You've learned a thing or two. I'm proud of you, man. Go ahead. Yes.
Yes. Welcome back to Two Broke Tumbles, the auspicious and ostentatious podcast hosted by two precocious young teens.
Teens.
Yo, we're trying to get to the lower demographic. You need to appeal to the kids.
Please. Please keep me far away. Them kids is wild.
What are the words these kids use? Lit.
I want to be honest with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
My mental space is—it's not in a very good space right now. My mental—it's just—it's not—it's not the best.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm like on a very mild depression because of Zimbabwe at the moment.
You know, once again, Dan, I'd like to caution or heed you about misrepresenting mental illness.
As
someone who suffers from a chronic.
There we go.
Fourth time with the charm. Chronic. Somewhat debilitating mental or a series of mental illnesses. I think what we shouldn't confuse is mood with actual illness.
Did you hear me say anything about any illness?
Mm.
I said I'm going through a depression right now. Mm.
So do you feel that it's something?
Are you telling me that my feelings are invalid and that I have no reason to feel the way I feel?
Dan, I feel as a man, it's my duty to mansplain a few things to you.
Anyway, my name is Danny That Guy, aka Denias, aka The Only Guy, aka Your Girlfriend Probably Pities Me, aka I have to be honest with you, used to be done more, but now it seems to be going back to done less.
Are you done?
I'm done.
I thought you were going to go back to all the old poverty stricken.
No.
And he's here with one and only, the irrefutable. Now please pay me nowable. Phil Chowder, a Flip Lost the Big Boss Baby.
AKA Pizza P.
AKA Sexington Lovu. AKA DJ Mkarad. Sometimes Filthy Phil, but of course, always, Shamwari. Ditenge Rodrigue.
Yeah, we're back with another episode. Now, the reason I said that at the beginning is because, first of all, the episode is late again.
Yeah, that's true.
To be 100% honest, it's partly because it's difficult to motivate myself, you know what I mean?
Mm.
But I'm going to do it, you know what? You gotta just...
Yeah. No, I can relate. I think it's January was a tough month. And we cracked jokes, you know, we're very lighthearted about it, but it was quite a seriously troubling month for us. I myself am also a little, I'm just exhausted, man. Like, I just don't know. You know, like, you start the year right, you've got your budget in place, you've got your strategy, you've got your life plan, and then the guy was like, you had a plan. All the pieces of the chessboard.
Well, I will deal with it the same way I deal with all problems in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Just lightly gloss over it with a thin veil of poorly executed comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And laugh uproariously. while everyone looks on in confusion.
That's right, Dan. I think the best thing, and what I've learned from my therapist, is to like take all your feelings, bottle them
exactly
up. Just push them down, just toss them down into the bottom of the basket.
I laughed. I saw a GIF.
GIF.
A graphical interchange format of
The creator calls it the GIF, though, and it really annoys me. That the man that created it doesn't know how to pronounce his own creation. Yeah,
exactly.
So it's no, it's not, it is not a GIF. It's a GIF.
Okay, the creator did not create English. Okay, so it's fine. People keep saying, oh, the creator. I can't just say, yo, I've created this iPad, but you must pronounce it iMad because the P is an M. Nah, English is English, bruh. Anyway, so in this GIF, a person thinks like a very negative thought and they take it up and bottle it. Mm-hmm. And then they think up, wow, I wonder if this is really going to hurt me in the long term, continuing to bottle up these feelings. Mm-hmm. Then he takes up and bottles that as well. And that's like the punchline. And it really is emblematic of my life. And it's great.
I think that's what a lot of Zimbabweans do. And then the moment they have any chance to vent, it's like, they end up attacking like a woman who wore a jumpsuit. Etna.
Exactly.
It's like, Miss Red and Japreza, we knew it. Yeah. This is why the economy is in the toilet.
But, yeah. Anyway, before we get to the negative, as usual, we're going to start up with Zimbabweans doing it big. This was a Phil discovery.
Yes, yes. You know me, I also contributed the show. You know, sometimes I'm there, you know.
Ever since you had a taste of leadership, Phil, I see you really.
I really stepped up. You know, some have greatness born within them, and some have greatness flopped onto their lap because their co-host couldn't be bothered.
So, Phil discovered this guy in the UK. His name is Munya Chawawa. He's a radio presenter out there in the UK. He presents on two stations. One is, I wrote it down somewhere here.
Lead us, then lead us.
Okay, here we go. Yes, he presents on 4 Music on a daily show. On a weekly show. Uh-huh. And then he also does the breakfast show on Represent 107.3 FM. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, so he's a radio presenter, which is all well and good, but that's not why he's on Zimbabweans Doing It Big. He's on Zimbabweans Doing It Big because of his Instagram page. And his Instagram page is just full of skits that he makes and produces himself, and they are gold. They're like...
No, the Fleeing Neeson one killed me.
Madorofia could never, is what I'm saying.
Wow. Wow.
Fam, I know. It's lit. It's really funny.
No, there's some of his skits. I remember seeing him a while ago. Some of his skits were a little hit or miss for me, but I think in the time since he's really stepped up his
Oh yeah, yeah, the most recent ones. And to be fair, you also have to, I mean, you also understand that, you know, target market. Some things will be funny for me and not funny for someone else, whatever. But, so I'm not going to play any now, but like in post, in editing during our discussion, especially when there's relevant points. He was throwing like some of his skits, the ones that work for audio. The Fleeing Neeson one was hilarious, and it's actually one of our talking points at some point. But anyway, yeah, trust me, if you want to see some, it's very British, so expect that. But his name is at Munya Chawawa, and yeah, you can find him on Instagram, and tell him when you get there that you were sent there by Two Broke Twin Boats. That's what's up. Mm. By the way, if you come across any Zimbabweans doing it big, wherever they may be in the world, hit us up either via email, donate at Two Broke Twimbos, or just throw it like some of the people that have done it so far in our DM or on the timeline, whatever the case is.
It goes down in the DM.
Timeline is better because then, you know, we can actually, because otherwise if you put in the DM, I'll just claim that I'm the one who found it. Mm-hmm. But on the timeline,
there's evidence. Part of my V11.
Paper trail.
No, your surname reminds me of that song. Remember that song? I've been thinking about you.
Okay, let's talk about some things. So I have a question.
Hey, how's it, Jude?
This has been trending all over the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
The man's conference.
Oh God,
it's okay. It's funny. I get the humor. You know what I mean? No, everyone contributed.
No, dude, it was funny. Like in January, like the first mention when a few people hopped on.
Phil, and then, you're just a miserable old goat. That's your problem.
No, but Dan. Surely you understand, like, you can only milk a joke for so much. Like, it's dry now. There's nothing coming out. You guys have sucked the udder dry.
Man, we're midway through the men's conference at the moment. What
keynote speakers have graced the stage so far?
Oh no, apparently we had a keynote speech from our former president. He was speaking about how your spouse can...
The tweet I saw was from last year's men's conference.
Men's conference?
It's this year's.
It's this year's, yeah. Okay. Yeah, how your spouse can ruin your job. It was a very moving and emotional keynote address.
Wow.
And
I really need to speak to the organizers of this men's conference for inviting suspected war criminals.
Anyway, what I want to know, like, aside from all the jokes, I just want to know where it started. Because it seems to have become an Africa-wide conversation, and that's why it's lasting so long. Because, you know, our brothers on Facebook take a bit longer to get to situations.
Does that still hold true? I think...
No, 100%.
You think so?
Yes, 100%. Like, right now, if you go on Facebook, you're going to be like, ha, dinyenge o girl.
Let's go. No, like, I never check... Like, I only check Facebook through...
I converted my profile to a page.
Through the app for... So, can I do that? And then I don't have...
It just check. Transfers everything.
So, I can still, like, for my clients, I can still check via my third-party app.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because I
never check. So I'm actually going back to my personal profile for the first time here. Because it's always on my clients' pages. Let's see what the timeline will produce for us.
Anyway, I put it on my Twitter. I wanted to ask, like, yo, like, where did... out of just a genuine curiosity, like, who started the conversation? Was it also a conversation last year?
It's been ongoing for some... the first thing we see is a post from Joaquin Kandoro. With Nelson Chamisa.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Caption is my president with a selfie.
Hey.
Okay. Right.
Cool. Okay. All right.
Scrolling down.
Cool.
And guess which team Chele Chele has its next game for the League Cup final? Okay. All right. Great content.
Okay. Stop going through your Facebook, bro.
Oh, imagine our poor listeners. The next post is Danny trying to be funny. Wow. Dude, this shirt was really loud. Where did you get this shirt?
It's my favorite shirt. Versace, except it's from Zara. It was $100.
It's not from Abero. Are you sure?
Look, Phil, our listeners did not tune in to hear us debate on Facebook posts. I have no interest in having a Valentine's discussion. It's a waste of time, a waste of money, a waste of jokes. My entire timeline... I haven't had as many laughs as I normally have because it's all conference. So why did for Valentine's?
The conference isn't funny.
Well, it's not all funny. There's some funny in there, like a little bit. But, you know, it's not the whole thing. Because now when everyone jumps on a joke, don't you miss the times when it only took the intelligent people to contribute to a conversation? Like everyone else would just do like retweets and lols. But now everyone just has to throw in their... Anyway, moving on.
Wow.
I don't know. Unless there's something you want to say about Valentine's, Phil, did you receive something that you want to talk about?
I did indeed, Dan. I did indeed. I just want to say thank you to the lovely...
You know who you are. Is that what you want to say?
The lovely gentleman out there that sent me something. You know who you are.
Phil is trash. Phil is trash. You remember the radio DJs who used to be like, shout out to that special lady. You know who you are.
Yeah. And then the pretty girl's like, oh, little did they know.
Yo, do you know that tweet that's been trending on the timeline? Ojewa K, whatever it is, but whatever they're saying. Bill, I don't speak the language, okay? But you know the tweet I'm talking about. Yes. First of all, damn, like people have got some sad stories out there. But secondly, a story that I see keep coming up on there is, I just found out my ex had another girlfriend or another boyfriend with the same name as me. So all those shout outs on Instagram and Twitter and whatever were for both of us. Like I've seen at least three.
What are the odds?
Anyway.
That is a genius strategy.
Actually, before we go forward.
Yo, that is genius.
I have a story. Story time.
Oh, God.
This has nothing to do with our talking points, but it's just come up into my head. And it's from a long time ago. It was from when I was in junior school film.
Oh, God.
It's a bit of a sad story. Mm. I'm going to add a dirge as a bit here. So in junior school, I was best friends with this guy named Timothy.
Treadle?
No. Cool dude. He was half Australian. And, I mean, we got along like a house on fire, man.
Of course you'd get along with a half Australian.
But, see, the difficulty was, and at the time I couldn't process those complex emotions because I must have been, what, 12 or whatever. But
oh,
in hindsight, he was so cool that in our friendship, I was invisible.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when your best friend is just, you know what I mean? He's better looking than you. He's more athletic than you are. He's smarter than you are. He's funnier than you are. And at the time, I never like, I couldn't put that into words. I just knew he was cool. But at the same time, like, all the girls were digging him in their own junior school way. Whatever. So, I had a crush on this girl. I won't say her name because, she's active on the timeline these days. She was the popular girl in school. In fact, she was in junior school dating high school boys type of person. Yeah. Again, at the time, this is the kind of stuff that you don't really realize.
Put a record scratch effect right here.
Exactly.
What?
So she was like grade 6, grade 7, dating form 2, form 3 type of thing.
Mildly disturbing. No, very disturbing.
Very disturbing. But, you know, everyone had a crush on her, basically. Anyway, I was... what's the English word for kufurirwa? I was fulilled by the rom-coms. You know, just tell her how you feel, man. You just gotta go to her and tell her how you feel.
Did you get a boombox?
No.
And play a...
Nah, my confidence was... I just told you that my best friend is the one that got all the attention, right? Mm-hmm. So all the girls loved him.
Mm.
So my confidence was really... It was short. So I had to go to her, just, you know, aside, sort of. And just be like, yo, girl, I gotta be honest with you, you know. G-unit, I'm feeling you. Whatever I said, I don't know. I'm trying to contextualize it into whatever was popular at the time. I probably quoted like Lil Bow Wow lyrics or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I was expecting, but what I was not expecting was, wow, I didn't know you felt that way. Meet me in the car park after school and I'll tell you my response. Mm. So here my little 12-year-old heart did a little backflip in my chest there.
Was this during Valentine's?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I told Timothy, and you know, he's the usual supportive guy he is. Yeah, man, he was so nice.
Yeah, Dan, you got this. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't worry, mate. Anyway. After lunchtime now, the bell is rung. I go to the car park, and for some reason, it's packed with people.
Well, it's a car park.
No. There's usually the normal people getting picked up or some people going for sports, whatever. I'm not going to say as well. So I'll say in future episodes. I don't want to. Because the moment I say the names, like, people will know.
Weren't you at Blackiston?
Wow. Anyway.
You are, aren't you?
Yes. So the car park was more packed than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But I only noted it in passing. I only had eyes for this girl, right?
Mm.
Oh, so I went straight to where she was, and that's where the
commotion,
the real density of people
the
was.
Eye of the storm.
So I just assumed, I don't know, maybe everyone's just chilling for some reason. I went to her with the full expectation of like, yo, so can we go talk somewhere, whatever. Mm. She's like, Dad, so earlier today you said, it's like, whoa, like, why are you shouting? Yo, like, that you like me. I've got an answer for you too. I have not exaggerated or inserted anything into the story. I remember it as clear as crystal.
Of course, you poor traumatized soul. Continue.
My response to you, she is shouting, is I like you too. Dramatic pause.
Mm, there's a but.
Psych! Whole car park bursts into laughter.
You loser.
I've not exaggerated a single word.
You're such a loser.
So my man's Timothy, he gathered what remained of me and whisked me away.
Did he pick you up like you're injured on the battlefield? Like just carry you across the threshold?
Don't worry, Damien, I'll save you. Leave me.
To
die.
Oh, I've got you, buddy. Let's go.
I was in grade 6 at the time.
Mm-hmm. And never since then.
What made it worse is that for grade 7, then for, like at the end of the year. Yeah, yeah. So that last, that was the whole year. Yeah, that was the story.
I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating. The actual tears in Dan's eyes right now.
Like, that is actually tearing up.
This was crazy.
Oh, you're a wuss.
And then, end of year, just, I'm just adding, this is probably a story for another time actually, but that was a story for the whole year. Towards the end of the year, once it was dying down, the class lists for the following year came out, and they accidentally replaced the D's of my name with P's.
So your pen is pube?
Yeah.
Pen is pube.
Anyway, so don't talk to me about Valentine. Get out of here. Anyway, what do we have on our talking points?
Yo, do you want to see my psychiatrist? Like, I can get you.
I feel like I'm dealing with it well. I think I'm handling it well.
Like, are you sure? I'm sure she. Like, I'll even pay for this one, dog. Like, the first one's on me. It's all starting to make sense.
As you know, this podcast, we like to keep an eye on the entertainment scene, the music scene, the media, what's going on in the country, you know, keep you up to date with what's hot, and also in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just today we got a brand new music video.
Yes, yeah.
Winky D, Winks on Dinks on, the Ninja President, has just released a brand new song.
Is he still the president?
I don't know. Gaffa or the Ninja Gaffa.
He's been in hiding. Maybe he's been...
No, I mean, his release cycle is still... He may be in hiding in terms of...
I mean, if you haven't seen the president, is he still the president? Think about it, son.
Open up your third eye.
Nah, I mean...
Anyway, yeah, so he just put out a music video for his song, Mugadin.
Mm.
It's featuring Gemma Griffiths. I love it. The song is cool. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not the kind of music that I would just generally listen to by myself, but it's well executed.
Mm-hmm.
And the video is crisp. It's
that's colorful. One thing I did notice, man.
It's
shout out to Winky for finally,
bruh.
But, you know, I still feel that Winky missed the boat because if Winky had taken his visuals seriously 5-6 years ago,
he would be the biggest thing. Like
he would be where Patoranking, where Stone Boy are right now.
Mm.
But I don't know. It looks like he shot it at the Walter Sisulu Gardens.
Anyway, hindsight is 2019. Mm. What can we say?
Shout out to the special someone that took me there once. You know who you are.
Anyway, so here's the thing about this video. First of all, it's Winky D's first good video in a long time, according to many critics so far.
It's a good... No, Paper Bag was a good video. It wasn't a bad video. It was just... It wasn't a bad video. It was just kind of like cliche, a little boring. But I think it was good compared to like Disappear.
Trash.
It was well shot. It was just the storyboard was terrible.
It's trash.
But once again, Disappear was an improvement on the stuff before it. So it's been a constant, at least he's finally getting to the point where he's like, okay, if I need to compete with these dudes. And speaking of, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll come back to that.
Yes. Just before we get there on this, the main talking point about this is that the feature on the song is Gemma Griffiths.
Mm.
Gemma Griffiths is a singer who does very folksy, alternative kind of.
Very, I don't wear shoes a lot. Music.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like she's the type of person you'd expect to.
I don't use perfume
in the crowd at a festival. You know what I mean?
But not a specific type of festival.
Yes, yes, like Glastonbury.
Why are we typecasting?
It's unfair, but I really like Gemma.
I like Gemma too.
She's the type of person, like real talk, she's the type of person you have a 5-minute conversation with her, you'll just walk away like in a better mood.
Mm, she's very like, bubbly personality.
It's almost annoying.
Mm.
We should have her on the show at some point. But yeah, but I mean, it's a very unusual. Also, elephant in the room, she's what?
Yeah, and which is what, so Dan was calling me a negative Nancy earlier, but.
I've never in my life ever put those two words together, but okay.
A euphemism.
in the similar vein. My point was, this isn't Gemma's lane, right? This is not a sound. She's not singing. Like, her vocal abilities are not being exercised in this video.
She didn't sing. Like, she was doing the harmonies on his chorus.
But
and
it's heavily auto-tuned. Like,
fair enough.
It's heavily auto-tuned.
I wouldn't say heavily. I would say mildly.
I feel like this song was put together almost in a lab. Like, yo, not necessarily that this is a song that's going to dominate radio, but it's going to be such a massive talking point.
What bothers you about this song, Phil?
I just mentioned it. Like, this isn't Gemma's style. This isn't her sound.
Are artists not allowed to make songs that are not their style or sound?
It feels like this was made in a lab. Like, the whole marketing angle is, yo, I got this white girl singing dancehall and singing Jonah. Because we've heard Gemma singing Jonah before. I don't know how good Ashona is, but I doubt she wrote these lyrics.
Her Shona is not impeccable, but she has passable Shona.
So she didn't write these lyrics.
Doesn't matter. Dude.
Someone ghost wrote this for her.
So are you mad at ghostwriting crossover?
No. You somehow see me looking at things with a skeptical eye as me being negative about it. I just see what's behind it. So for example, right?
What I'm saying is, I'm agreeing with you. You don't have to continue proving it. Even if that is the case, what's wrong with that?
I don't think anything's wrong. I'm not saying I hate this. This is bad. I'm saying the song sounds like something made in a lab. That's my thing. Like, I'm not going to not listen to it. I just also understand the motivation behind it. You know what I mean?
To be honest, I don't think that's the motivation behind it. Anyway, your words seem to echo the words of a certain Tendi Mchenje, who said on Facebook, I see Zimbos are still fascinated by white people and them speaking Shona.
Mm.
That Winky and Gemma song is garbage. The video too. Who hurt you, Tendi?
No, I kind of agree with the first half. We do have a very low bar.
We do.
For white people who speak languages of the countries they were born in.
Do you know what I mean? The trending videos that go around are white person speaking in Shona trending. It's like, dude didn't even, it's just a person speaking in Shona.
Look,
understood.
The weirdest thing is,
but
like,
that doesn't necessarily apply. We can't, if it's a good video and a good song, we can't just be like, yeah, but it's because you people are fascinated. It's true. Zimbabweans are generally fascinated
with
that.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying the song isn't amazing, but it's good. Like, we can both agree there, right? Like, it's got replay value, but it's not, like, massive hit value. So what separates it, the differentiator now is, I've got a white girl speaking Shona.
No, I disagree. What separates it is, Winky D has a singer on the hook. The last time he did that was, who? Vabati Vajehova. Do you know what I mean? It's Winky D going.
But she's not really singing on the hook.
She is singing on the hook, Phil. And I think what makes it a huge talking point is the white girl does play a part. I agree. But I don't think that's why people are reacting like this.
Well, it's also very fresh, dude. Like, these hot takes are really out of the oven. They're fresh out the oven.
Yeah, what takes? Yeah. What?
Mm.
So,
you
anyway.
You smell them. But yes, it's not a bad song. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of Gemma. And people being easily impressed by white people that speak Shona. Is Gemma the new king of urban groups? I think she's the new queen of urban groups.
I don't know, she's
shutting down the scene right now, man.
Oh, the song with DJ Stavo.
She was with Stavo. Stavo went on this diatribe. You know, traditional media has shunned me. I shall now fire back by shunning traditional media. Releasing this on digital platforms only.
So I got a call from B Metro.
Mm.
So naturally, I panicked.
Wait, are they saved in your phone as B Metro?
No. The person called me and says, hello, my name is
whatever
it was from B Metro. I'm like,
what did I do? Oh, no. It wasn't me. No, she's lying. She's lying.
And he's like, yeah, I just wanted to know how many times has DJ Stavo topped the charts at ZFM?
I'm like, I don't know, bruh.
Do you, like, can you be more specific with your question or... Anyway, so I suspect they're doing a piece on, cause I mean, B Metro should be Zim Papers, right?
Yeah.
So.
It's an offshoot of
Zim Papers being Star FM.
I don't know if Larry's the editor there as well. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. So I assume they're doing a piece on, Stavo thinks he's all that, but look, he hasn't even topped ZFM. He's been on the charts on ZFM. I think he's perpetually on the charts, to be honest. But look, another conversation is to who actually made the song, that's another conversation.
I didn't even raise that.
I'm just preempting.
Look at you. I'm just preempting, Phil.
I think I know you pretty well. Just preempting it.
No, Dan. And the thing that annoys me is you do this to prod me. I've actually, in that respect, I have nothing against Stavo.
Fraud.
Stavo.
Fraud.
Why are you looking for an excuse to touch me?
Fraud.
Why are you prodding
me? Okay, anyway, tell us how you really feel, Phil.
I have nothing against Steven.
Can I tell you that I was very surprised? Like, obviously, I should have known that Stavo is Steven, but I went to his wedding and his dad was giving a speech and kept on referring to Steven. I was like, Steven. Oh, Steven is Stavo. Yeah, that was a brain fart on my part.
Yes, I have absolutely nothing against Steven, right? But I've also noticed, like, as you said, the bar is so much lower for Caucasians who ingratiate themselves into the culture of the country they live in. And I think, like, black people are very welcoming of that. And we see it across the world. I'm not going to get into why you think I don't like Stavo. I just caught him doing something
I'm just prodding you, Phil.
I just caught him doing something real shady. I was like, yo, dude, why are you doing this shady thing? And then they, instead of just admitting, saying, yeah, okay, you got me, they went on this terrible defense. And I was like, come on now.
Which artist is going to be like, yeah, you got me? Of course. I mean, no, that's
not, also, the thing is,
in my belief, do you know what? Mm. If I was an artist, I would probably inflate my numbers as well. Probably not by buying, but I'll try and find a way, you know?
Be smart about the thing. The thing that irked me with all this is, Steven
has... I'm just kidding. I have integrity.
He was actually doing a lot of good work in the way he was creating the music, the way he was shooting the music videos, the way he's positioning himself as an artist. And that's the hard stuff. YouTube is the easy stuff. And you're messing all that up by doing this. And that's, I was like, come on, dog. Why are you taking the shortcuts here?
So someone had a conversation with me who really doesn't like Gemma. And the reason is the same thing that you've said, that as Zimbabweans, it seems we almost pander and get excited at the very thought of a Caucasian doing Zim things. So she didn't like Gemma because it was like, bruh, the song that she's known for? It's her cover of Musaroya Biggie Man. I was like, fair enough. My thoughts are, is there's no, we shouldn't expect that because you're white, you must do white music. And because you're black, you must do black music. I think people do whatever music in whatever language, as long as they don't disrespect the culture. And as long as pay tribute to the
pay homage.
There we go. To the actual owners of said culture. So for example, if, Ariana Grande was going to get a tattoo in Japanese, I mean, you know, maybe have like a, I don't know, have a reason. For example, if the tattoo was done by a Japanese person who has a story, and then now this tattoo is a reminder of that person's story, or whatever the case is, as long as it's paying homage to the owners of that culture in the same way.
Or make sure it says the right thing.
Yes, that's also important.
Or just use Google, like just take a photo of it and put it in Google Translate just to make sure you got the right character.
So funny enough, I interviewed Gemma on a Zol, you know, the Zol live thing they do. Sorry. On a very prominent internet service provider in the country
better.
Orange.
No free promo here.
Yeah, so I mean, we sat down and we had a very pleasant discussion. Oh, you know, new music, what are you working on, blah blah blah. And then I made everyone panic because I was just like, okay, so some people have accused you of appropriating black culture by doing covers of Winky D, and there's Ja Praise's song that she's done, and there's one other one. Those are the ones that are her like popular videos on YouTube. And you see everyone like behind the camera just like she was cool as a cucumber. She was like,
"Our cucumber's cool though."
She was, "Fam, if I tell you, she looked me dead in the windows of my soul." She was like, "Dan, you know what? I've received that criticism before, and I've actually sat down and thought about it. And I was like, you know what? I don't feel I'm doing anything wrong because I asked for permission from Winky D to do this. I shared with him the song before I released it, and then when I released it, he gave his blessing because the only reason it got popular was because Winky D posted it and whatever and shared it and whatever. I'm never going to release something to claim as if this is my thing or I speak this language or whatever unless I get permission from the owners of the thing. So I was like, okay, that's
makes enough sense. I mean,
it's kind of a separate argument though, but I get what you're saying. So you can appropriate a culture with permission from what you may deem to be the gatekeepers, but the gatekeepers might also be wrong.
See, that's fine in a general conversation, but here we're looking at specific instances of a song in which he actually got the permission. And at the same time, appropriation doesn't necessarily mean that you did a song in Shona, so you're appropriating Shona culture.
Mm.
Right? Mm. Doing a song in Shona doesn't mean appropriating Shona culture.
Not necessarily, no.
First of all, she hasn't done her own song in Shona. She's just done a cover
until
of someone
now,
else's.
Of course. Now
she's featuring on someone's song. As far as I'm concerned, she's doing things the right way. Also, I may low-key have a crush on her, so, you know, I'm defending. Come at me, bro. What? What do you got to say about Gemma? Nah.
What Gemma responded to that?
Hey, Dan, I heard you had a crush on me. I, too, have a crush on you.
Meet me at the car park.
Strike!
Yo, she does that. Oh, I'll die.
Wow.
Anyway.
You really were a sad kid. Like, you were the saddest of kids.
So anyway,
check out
that new music video, Winky D and Gemma Griffiths.
I think we glossed over like how pathetic you were in school.
I was not pathetic. I was cool. But like I said,
like
I was always
TV
in
shows.
Close proximity to cooler. So,
and
you know.
Those TV shows were like the downtrodden nerd.
But you know what it did, Phil? It hardened me so that I don't get affected by criticism.
Is this also why you don't know what intimacy feels like?
It may be a contributing factor. I will not confirm nor deny that. Anyway, we had a lot of videos come out this week. We also had the big one, the one that had a lot of people talking, the one that inspired a front page in the H Metro.
What?
Ja Praise also released his new music video.
Of course.
First of all, can I just say, it's so stupid that people are sitting on there like, literally people are commenting, yeah, all due respect to Ja Praise, but Winky D, your video is good. Why are you bringing Ja Praise into this, bruh? If you like Winky's video better, then cool.
Dude, have you ever like just gone through the comments on Zimbabwean videos? The quality of the comments is
quite low. But I mean,
they're still making the air conditioner joke.
It's funny though,
and
right?
I laugh
each time I see it,
and they still upvoted to the top every time.
And there's always someone who says, "I'm from Bangladesh, so I don't speak Shona, but I eat chaganyanyage."
I still always laugh when I see it too.
Every video, that one is on there as well.
You guys are pathetic.
Anyway, so Ja Praise featuring Miss Red as the video vixen.
Oh, and the guitar.
And her leg was the guitar. The song is called Kunerima.
Time, man. Time.
So here's the thing. I mean, I think we briefly touched on it last week when we spoke about... when we spoke about how people seem to want to attack women and whatever. So Miss Red posted up a photo that went viral of her sitting on that car, you know, with... Thunder thighs out, what?
Skirt, skirt, skirt.
So some people appreciated, rightly so. Other people are like, how dare you? Our children supposed to look up to you when you're like this.
Well, she's sitting on the car, duh, because she's up.
I don't know. She's still short enough that she might not have been high enough. Anyway.
Yeah, Miss Red is short, guys.
Anyway, it was a hot pick, you know what I mean? Had everybody talking. It was in the news. Other radio stations were calling her while she was on air. Like, yo, give us a comment about your picture. And she was like, fam, I better work. Anyway, so then a pic seemed to leak, courtesy of Plot Marco, Phil's Phil's friend. And the one who you're trying to get beaten up.
No, I've got no beef with Plot.
I know, it's just, but you're indirectly getting him beaten up.
Plot was already getting beaten up, and then he threw me in front of the beef. And I was like, fam, this ain't my fight.
So another picture came out, which seemed to imply that Miss Red was in a steamy affair with Ja Praise. Again, if you had any sort of sense, she was in a full face of makeup. She was wearing jewelry.
And a wig.
And people were saying, yo, this is like a morning after pick, can't you see? Like, guys.
Wait, didn't anyone ask, so who took the pic? Where was the pic taken?
Again, who took the pic?
The pic was up close. That means someone had to be in close proximity. Zimbabweans.
I actually thought it was a promo for a photo shoot. I don't know why I didn't think video. So I thought there was a photo shoot coming out maybe for some
brand
or whatever.
I knew it was PR.
Yeah, it was quite obviously PR. But people panicked. She actually went onto H Metro. I mean, the video comes out and it's a music video. Lo and behold, everyone's like, oh yeah, okay, all right, few things. What's wrong with y'all? She went on.
Remember what we said about trauma and like not dealing with it?
True, true, fair enough. She did go on to H Metro, where she opened up about how she felt that people judged her and were very mean to her and said nasty things.
You're just a bit mean.
Yeah, and she was like, you know, people were even out there claiming, no, it's true. It's definitely true. Ask me, I've got V11s. So this is just one of the pictures. I've got the others. You know what I mean? So it's like, bruh, so do you feel stupid now, all right?
But then I think some of us have realized that people will do and say anything for clout. Remember like when the Nomuzi thing came out? That video of the crash, there were people writing think pieces about trauma and there's no way this is fake. And they were so adamant.
Yeah.
And that's why when I started realizing, hey, there's no way this is real, that's why I shut up, because I was like, nah, I just don't want to be the asshole. They'll just feel stupid themselves. But people will never admit they're wrong on social media. They just act like nothing happened and move on.
Hey, anyway, I'm looking at this pic. This is... Anyway, sometimes y'all are dumb.
I think the only person that had legitimate reason to panic was Ja Praise's wife.
Well, according to Miss Red, Ja Praise's wife was fully in the know. In fact, she was actually directing some of the things and, you know.
Yeah, usually, I don't need butter so, Andrika. I want it to be believable.
So, nyato, butter gumba irure. Ah, nyato. Hey, that's it, baby, that's it.
Another video that came out this week was Takura's Noise.
Yes.
You had something you want to say about that?
No, I was just like, was that a response to Inky?
Again, if there's any form of air quotes beef, it's purely for PR purposes. Takura has been going on all over his Instagram talking about Winky being the GOAT or whatever. And Winky D was at Coke Studio Africa and he was listing like, yo, there's artists doing big things in Zim at the moment.
No, the artists doing big things.
There's,
don't forget the accent. No, but
it's not like that though.
But
guys, yeah, I'm not even going to try it.
As a nation, we really need to sit down.
No.
And have a serious dialogue about our Zim dancehall acts and these fake Jafakan accents that they pull out. Why do we allow this to continue?
No. So there's a very, very, very compelling argument for it. But we'll discuss that another time.
What compelling argument is there?
Anyway. So yeah, he was out there at Coke Studio Africa.
What if I came out with man, you know what I'm saying?
He mentioned three artists doing big things in Zim.
Three artists doing big things.
Three artists. And one of them was Takura.
Takura, big thing, man.
So if he was beefing with Takura, why would he be giving him shine at Coke Studio Africa?
Could be subliminal.
At the same time.
The robot dope.
Anyway, maybe it was. I don't know. Maybe it was. What did he say that was shady? Anything?
The whole chorus. You guys are making noise. We
But that's like kind of all his hip-hop songs. From Zino Irema to whatever, Maobama. No. It's always like, yo, shut up, leave me alone. I'm making money, I'm doing my own thing, y'all doing nothing. Okay. Let's not read too much into it. Maybe it's a shot, but I need more. I need more. Anyway. But
this next one, did you get confirmation?
I thought it was a dope video.
Was it still a rumor at this juncture?
What's this? Oh, I think let's leave it for now.
That one.
We saw a...
Because we have questions.
We saw a flyer circulating, alleging a concert in Zimbabwe featuring Nasty C, Davido, Nadia Nakai, and they were like, but anyway, let's confirm first before we talk about it. We don't want to be like other news sources, you know, that just speak without
confirming.
Yeah, you know,
just basic research.
Just basic research.
Googleable facts.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
We're big fans of facts. Yeah,
big facts.
So I mean, that's what the scene is locally. Internationally, there was the Grammy Awards. First off, I want to say big shout out to the Grammys for the In Memoriam segment. They listed Oliver Mtukudzi as one of the artists that we lost in.
They also listed ProKid, which is nice.
Yes. So
I wonder, like, who submits these names?
I know.
Names,
like, I wonder where they get those names from.
There has been some hullabaloo that XXXTentacion was not included.
Was he not included?
He was not.
Did he not die outside of the time?
No, he died.
What? No, I mean, because I feel like he's been dead a while now.
He died. He died recently. He died within the window.
Maybe it's because of the the current allegations.
That's pretty much it, I suspect. And especially now because the Grammy Committee is under fire from women's rights groups because their president has been talking out of his ass for a couple of years.
Anyway, any interesting news from the Grammys?
I mean, the biggest thing is probably Cardi winning Rap Album of the Year and then shutting down an Instagram account. And then the fallout of the BET.
You missed the step in, but she didn't just shut it down because she won. It's because people are like, what's wrong with you? Mac Miller should have won.
Yeah, people. But the thing that I don't get is Cardi is now, without a shadow of a doubt, the biggest woman in rap. She's, in my opinion.
Oh, shots. Oh, goddamn, Phil, you started something. You started it, Phil.
And we know she listens to this podcast. But, dude, it's a fact. She's got a Grammy, she doesn't. So, I just don't understand why she continually feels the need to respond to haters. She's going to have haters. Like, everything seems to get under her skin. It's so weird.
I hate using this phrase, the whole thing of someone being real. But to a certain extent, it kind of describes that. I think the reason why she's become so popular is because she seems like a regular person. Like, she's not, like, you know, Nicki is painted a very larger than life picture of herself in terms of.
She's painted a higher than life image.
Well, anyway, Cardi's always seemed to be the person who's dating a trash dude, the person who's, you know, getting in fights at award shows and posting up no makeup videos and talking nonsense all the time and getting into fights on Twitter and, you know, that kind of thing. So she's like a regular person.
I figure her
personality means she will beef with people, which is a shame. Cause like, bruh, you're making money. You're one of the most popular people in music right now. Just, bruh, look at these people saying things about you and laugh. Mm. Laugh into your bank account. Laugh into your purse. Do people still use purses?
Such a sexist thing. What's wrong with you? Why are you so toxic?
How is that sexist?
Why can't you have a bag?
Laugh into your bag. There we go.
Mm. What do you think about Record of the Year, Childish Gambino?
I was literally just about to ask that. Do you know what? First of all, can I just say that the Grammys for Record of the Year had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hip-hop songs nominated out of 8. That's insane.
Well, hip hop has been pop for the last 3 years.
Figures for last year say globally, but I think they used 16 countries. Hip hop still came in at the 5th biggest genre, but the biggest was pop, and like you're saying, pop, hip hop, whatever. But anyway,
which report was this?
It was on Statista.com. It also said, "Oh, that was global." So in the US, hip hop was at number one, but. Using 16 countries.
I'll check the IFPI report.
And you also got to remember, like, a lot of those countries were probably Europe. Do you know how big, like, pop, like, when I say pop, I mean stuff like Dua Lipa and whatever.
Havana.
How big that kind of stuff is in the Netherlands, Germany, France.
No.
I know because I used to do a segment on radio where I looked for the number one song in different parts of the world. And anyway, what I was going to ask you about that song is, there's some controversy going around about, what's his name? Some guy named Jace someone who made a song called American Pharoah.
No, they settled that issue. Like, Childish admitted he got inspiration from it and he paid him off like months ago. It's an old issue.
They sound almost identical.
Yeah, he got paid off. He got the bag. I think he might even be a co-writer now.
So. Anyway, I'm not mad at that. It was a very influential track. It like,
do you know what actually surprised me? And I didn't realize this. Ludwig Göransson was a co-writer on This Is America.
Huh.
You know Ludwig Göransson, right?
The composer who was on Black Panther.
Black Panther always works with, what's his name? The director of Black Panther.
So was he not on 2 songs in the Record of the Year nominations?
Oh, Ludwig.
Yeah,
he was. Ludwig is out here, man. Ludwig does things.
Shout out to you. Anyway, I mean, I'm not mad at it. It was a huge, very influential song. I mean, we had This Is Nigeria and many other knockoffs of that song. Anyway, whatever. There's not too much to talk about in the Grammys. Except that, Cardi, chill, child.
No, do you know what I wanted to speak of? Why are Drake fans so corny?
It's Drake.
But it's grown. It always surprises me. Like, and it's like, It's men we know. Like, we know these dudes, right?
And, do you mean Nick? Are you talking about Nick specifically? He's one of them. Shame.
Like, but under normal circumstances, they're cool people. Yo, let's talk about
Except when it comes to Drake.
And then you're like, what is wrong with you,
I've noticed that as well. Like, it's like you lose all sense of reasoning.
they're like the male Bayhive, but more annoying.
To be fair, there was a time I was a very unreasonable person when it came to Lil Wayne. I was a fan for a while, back in high school.
Yeah, high school then. High school. You weren't shaving then.
Anyway, let's continue with our talking points. Do you want to talk about the 21 Savage thing?
21.
So yeah, we touched on it last week, but we didn't have time to talk about it. But you seem to have some inside information that you'd like to share.
No, it's not inside information. It's stuff that's been widely available.
So before Phil gives you this, I'm just gonna give you an overview of the story, just in case you've stayed under a rock and you don't know what the whole story is. Basically, 21 Savage was arrested by ICE, which is immigration police out there in the US, because allegedly he's from the UK and he's overstayed his visa by years, over a decade actually. So that led to a whole slew of online memes and jokes about Sir Savage the 21st and
21 Trumpet.
Exactly. Crumpet, rather. Tea and Crumpet Savage. Because I mean, we've always known 21 Savage is representing ATL, son. I'm from Atlanta. But yeah, he's technically from the UK. So he's technically a grime rapper. Anyway, so what is this inside tea?
So it's not really inside tea. It's just stuff that I read from the statements that I found very peculiar, and people familiar with the matter were also like, this is weird. Anyway, soon after his arrest, 21's lawyer released a statement, and a specific section says, Mr. Abraham Joseph has never hid his immigration status from the U.S. government. The Department of Homeland Security has known his address and his history since filing for a U visa in 2017. Yet they took action against him until this past weekend. They took no action against him until this past weekend. For those of you, those people in the know, a U visa in some immigration circles is called a snitch visa. So I went to the immigration website, and I just want to give you guys the explanation from the U.S. Homeland website, what a U visa is. The U non-immigrant status U visa is set aside for victims of certain crimes who have suffered mental or physical abuse and are helpful to law enforcement or government officials in the investigation or prosecution of criminal activity. Those are the qualifications for a U visa.
Not necessarily a snitch visa, but I get why people would assume.
So then, you put two and two together. 2 years before this, 21 Savage was arrested on a drug conviction, but it never went to court.
Okay.
It never went to court. And then 2 years later, you're now applying for a U visa.
So basically, he's snitching.
He may be. But there's another layer that came out.
So why would they arrest him?
ICE are like an independent.
Also, it's like a separate. So they wouldn't have known.
So one of the things going on in America right now is people are trying to abolish ICE because ICE are this rogue agency that do whatever they want, and they can operate almost outside the confines of the law because they're given so much jurisdictional power, which is not the same amount of power that normal law enforcement agencies have. So they don't care about your investigation; they just want to arrest these "quote unquote" bad hombres.
The bad hombres.
So another thing that popped up is there's a video of the Breakfast Club. Angela Yee is talking to Charlamagne, and they mention 21's dad, and she mentions him by name, but his name is Dr. Amsu Anpu. And then Charlamagne's like, I thought we weren't talking about that. Why are we talking about that? And then they immediately stop the conversation. And then some people were like, wait, what? Because no one's ever mentioned 21's dad or knows who the dad is. And this individual has been on the Breakfast Club on several times, and he's never mentioned
was that 21
that 21's yeah. his mm. son. And I just found it a little weird because if you go to this guy's website, he's a nutritionist, a specialist in naturalist, herbal, vegan remedies. So if he is indeed, and he's a British person, if he is indeed 21 Savage's dad, and 21 knows who his father is and has some sort of relationship with him, you remember there was a time when 21 Savage started dating Amber Rose? And he was like, I never used to drink water and I didn't know what vegetables were until I started dating Amber. It's a little suspicious that if your dad's a natural nutritionist.
No one learns good habits from their parents. Get out of here, Phil.
I'm just finding it a little suspect. And the thing that's, I find really suspect more than anything is that the lawyer clearly stated this dude is applying for a U visa. It's in black and white. It's in print. But no other publications, no other artists are asking questions like, wait, this homie's getting a U visa. On what grounds?
Meh. Why? Do you want to care about 21 Savage?
Mm.
That song with J. Cole was Fuego.
A lot.
It's flames.
How many times you snitched?
A lot.
A lot.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. So, last week.
A special set of curls.
A certain old Irishman. His name is Liam Neeson. Well known for his revenge movies. Taken 1, Taken 2, Taken 3, Taken 4, Taken 5. Sometimes not by the same name, but really all the same movie.
Every movie is done since, right? I think just he did a Broadway musical once. Same plot. This guy has to be hands down the worst father in the history of movies.
Why do you keep losing children? Anyway. So, if you don't know the story, last week he was doing an interview promoting his new movie, Taken in the Snow. it's actually called Cold Pursuit. And during this interview, again, it's exactly the same premise. Who is it?
You're kidding me.
His family is kidnapped.
Talk about being typecast.
His family's not kidnapped. His family is killed. And now he's going on revenge. It's the same thing, basically. So...
I just sort of ask, like, so his agent, is his agent under strict instructions? Listen, I only want a movie that meets this criteria.
I have a certain set of skills.
And
so,
I kill people.
So he's promoting this movie, and he's talking about the whole idea of revenge. And he's like, I've actually felt that cold desire for revenge before.
Mm.
So, the person who was interviewing him, I can't remember who it was. I was like, oh yeah, tell me more.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, I know there was this and time back in the day.
He thought he was killing the game right now.
Funny thing is, if you watch the video of it, you should just watch it again and look at the audience.
I saw.
They're all just looking at each other and looking at him like.
There's a woman that's directly behind his shoulder. Moment he's like, it's just like, huh?
So he just starts saying, yo man, back in the day, I had a very close friend. Well, he didn't specify whether it was a friend or his girlfriend or family.
Or an imaginary person that he made for promo.
This person was...
You know what? Actually, before you even continue, I wouldn't be surprised if all this is a lie.
If it's just promo? Yeah. I don't think so, because it's hurting the movie. They had to cancel premieres.
But he
premieres.
Didn't know that. Okay.
Or maybe they overdid it.
Listen to me.
Wait, let me finish telling the story.
Okay,
then you can explain. So, he then says... I understand revenge because back in the day, many years ago, 40 years ago,
it doesn't matter. Could a close be 100
friend,
years ago.
A close friend of mine was raped.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, like, who did this to you? Do you know him? No, I don't. What race was he? He was black. Say no more. So,
the weird thing is, right? You didn't ask for any features. You're like, wait, was he tall? Was he short? Was he fat? Was he thin?
That doesn't matter. And I'll explain
why. Was he light? Was he dark? No, just black. Cool.
So he says, at that point, he grabbed the kosh, which I assume is a nob kerry for Irish. It's an Irish nob kerry. So he says he grabbed a kosh and he went out on the streets for a week, just looking for any black person just to look at him funny so he could beat him to death.
Where does Liam Neeson stay? Where he can go a week without seeing black people?
So it's like he was outside stalking the streets, going to bars and whatever. It's like, I just need one black person to just
Why
look
do
at
I
me.
Live in such a rich area?
Someone to look at me and just say something. Just bump my shoulder. And then I'm going to what? I'm going to beat this person. And the way he phrases it, I'm going to beat this black bastard.
And then he put it in air quotes like it made it any better.
So that I could kill him. And then obviously everyone's shocked, like, and everyone now realizes, well, this is not about the movie anymore.
Yep. This is about racism. This is about a hate crime right now.
New cycle has come up. So since then, in fact, at the time, Liam Neeson said it was a horrible thing. By the end of that week, I realized, I spoke to myself, like, what are you doing? And whatever. And he basically said he was ashamed of those feelings. But at the same time, clearly very racist remarks coming out.
Mm.
The question or the debate now is, for example, Phil's mentor, John Barnes, is one of the people that said, he literally said Liam Neeson should get a medal.
Don't do that.
For what he said.
Don't do that. I've never,
I've never been more disappointed.
Now, I must say, if Thierry Henry came out and said something like that.
No, Job Barnes.
But wait, Phil. Wait.
I need, if SuperSport put him on again, I'm gonna boycott. Cause
wait.
You know, I met John Barnes once. Did I tell you the story?
In the airport. You meet John Barnes?
In the airport.
Did you, like, wet yourself?
No, it was literally just like, he was walking, like, I was passing Big Five.
No, there's no way you didn't wet yourself when you met him.
No, I'm not that big of a John Barnes fan.
Like, okay.
How
convenient that now you're no longer.
If I meet Steven Gerrard, I'm getting on my knees.
No, I don't think you'll like that though.
But I'm just
you'll think you're mocking him. Anyway, so hear me out, Phil.
Uh-huh.
And I want to hear your thoughts on this. You see, 100% Liam Neeson, his words, what he said, he described very racist feelings that he had. I mean, that's the very definition of racism, mm-hmm. i.e. stereotyping and hating a race or wanting to do harm to a race mm-hmm. based on
the actions of an unidentified individual.
And using race
mm-hmm.
to do that. 100% racism, right? And that was clearly a very wrong thing.
Bad, bad.
Now, my thing is, he said, essentially what he said, with the wrong words were, man, I did a very racist thing in the past. He didn't admit it, and that's the big problem. He didn't admit that it was racist, but he did call it shameful, disgusting, whatever he called it. So he said, I did a very racist thing in the past, and that was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
If we crucify people for saying, I did something messed up in the past, one, you're going to stop people coming out and admitting these kind of things. Because mm-hmm. there's not going to be a discussion, or there's not going to be a... At the same time, they don't deserve that, or they're not owed that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
100% not. But I would give some measure of respect to someone who says that, you know what? I did this in the past and that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like it's counterproductive to be like, shame on you.
I never said shame.
I feel like it should more like, yo, that was really messed up, but I'm glad you've changed and you're a different person now. What he did was wrong. And the discussion must be had about how bad that was. Also, at the same time, the way he handled it was also very poorly handled. Because honestly, you can't use racism to promote your movie. What the hell, man? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think that the response, while understood, to someone who's been a victim of racism, if you're outraged when you hear that someone openly say that, yo, I did a racist thing, you are very justified in your outrage.
No, we live in the age of outrage. I think I have no problem with him admitting it. I just, the way he approached it and the way he framed the conversation didn't give me any inkling to the fact that he's actually changed some of the problematic. Like, he says it was wrong, but he doesn't say exactly why it was wrong. He doesn't examine why all of a sudden every black person was now guilty for the actions of one black person. I mean, one black rapist. Whether or not the friend was raped by a black person or how she was able to identify, that's not our place to say, you know what I mean? But even within that, like, he gives no details about trying to get any specifics.
That's fine. That's wrong.
So he painted that, and then
is that proportional? The outrage, is that proportional to you didn't say the right thing when you were addressing this?
I'm speaking from my personal view. I had no outrage. I was just like, oh, another racist? Cool. I'm moving on with my day. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, okay.
So will you, like, not watch Liam Neeson movies now? Because in your head, he's racist.
I haven't watched a Liam Neeson movie in ages. The thing, okay. Well,
are you deleting your Star Wars collection?
Of course not. The thing, the nuanced conversation we need to have here is this, right? And I think you've stumbled us into this. So, There are instances where an individual is terrible, and we can easily say, consciously, I can't support them. For example, R. Kelly. What happens in the instance where, like, Bohemian Rhapsody, right? The director did something horrible, and he's now on the hot seat. But then, how do we deal with everyone else involved with that project? Like, if everyone else is innocent, and they didn't know this person was this type of person, like, how do we approach, and I think culturally we haven't had that nuanced conversation yet, like, how do we deal with problematic people who also affect innocent people that they work with or are associated with.
Here's another thing. Why do we automatically put a label based on limited information? My point, having said that, is because someone's done something messed up, no matter how messed up, does not necessarily always equate to cancel culture. Man, cancel culture has become very toxic. A situation like R. Kelly, this dude is clearly showed a pattern of being a trash person. Cancelled. Very few thinking people should be able to argue with that. For me, Liam Neeson is, this person did something terrible 40 years ago. The way he's handled telling the story now wasn't the best, but what I've seen from him since then, he hasn't shown any kind of inclination or any kind of pattern of racist
the truth
behavior.
Is we don't know him.
That's my point. So if we don't know him, why are we so quick to jump to that cancel culture when we don't, all we know is 40 years ago I did something horrible. That's what he said.
Yeah. And I was like, cool, moving on with my day. Like, once again, not to paint everyone with the same brush, but life has taught me that
most people are trash.
Most people are trash. And if you're a white male, I don't expect much of you. So, like, it's very hard for a white male to disappoint me. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So, it's terrible. Yeah. I'm glad he's moved on. Hopefully no black people have been harmed with his special set of skills.
Yeah.
But, like,
to be fair, the other thing also is, it's also probably, some people may say the conversation, the discussion is good, but I'm not so sure as well if it is a good thing for people to share the story of, oh, yeah, 40 years ago, I hated black bastards.
Which brings me back to the hot take I had earlier. Hot take, Fuego take. Responses like the one John Barnes gave are the reason why I feel that this was concocted to draw PR. Because I can envision a situation where someone's like, yo, if I paint this as me, I was bad, but I saw better of it, and I now changed and I'm different. That can then be somehow moved into saying, like, yo, this guy is a new person, he's a new man. Especially when stuff like race is such a hot topic right now in the global zeitgeist. So I think that it's very possible that, you know, maybe you slaughtered a line or two. You know what I mean? Maybe you've puffed the magic dragon. You know what I'm saying? You're a little high. You're like, yo, I got an idea.
Without telling your PR team and the manager and the movie.
You know, these guys, like,
they must be mad as hell.
You know, it'd be real funny, like, if 20, 30 years from now, he admits that, yeah, I made that story up.
Liam Neeson's not going to be alive 20, 30 years from now. What is he? Or maybe he'll be doing, like, ghost taken movies or something. I came back from the dead. What my special skills. Yeah. Anyway, I'd love to hear what.
You just reminded me of another point. This Michael Jackson documentary. So there's been a lot of talk about it. It's still on the Sundance Film Festival circuit and a few other festivals.
But have you seen it?
No, it's not yet out. It's not
cool. I was about to say because I didn't hear that it was out.
There have been journalists that have seen it. One complaint that they've raised is it only has the opinion of two people and the people that are accusing Mike of this. And then.
Where is it going to go? Is it going to be on Netflix?
I'm not too sure. And a few years back.
When is it coming out?
When
is it coming out, Bill?
One of the individuals that accused him of molestation says that they were actually put up to it by their parents. So I'm not too sure what the information is. But if this documentary comes out, and I don't know how I feel about it, like if there's no balance, but if they present like irrefutable evidence that Mike was sick. Speaking of, did you read the story last week? Simon Calloway, you know the doctor that killed Michael Jackson. He basically from jail. So I don't know how much veracity you want to give to his words, but he says that Joe Jackson chemically castrated Michael Jackson when he was a teen to keep his voice high pitched.
Oh wow!
And I've always wondered, like, why do all the Jacksons talk like they have a secret? Like all of them,
huh?
So.
Anyway,
keeping that in mind, right?
Yes.
If Mike was mentally okay, we know he was mentally, what's the word? He had issues. Like he clearly didn't see the world through the lens most adults see the world through the lens adults through.
As can be expected for probably most global superstars of that stature,
especially if their dads chemically castrated them. Because damn, like if Mike is guilty, Are you going to throw your MJ CDs?
It's going to be HBO. All right, cool.
Are you throwing away your MJ CDs?
No. Just like I said, okay, I don't subscribe to cancel culture as it is now because I think it's mostly inflammatory and reactionary and doesn't necessarily do anything but make you feel good. If it makes you feel good, cool. You see, with Michael Jackson, it's a different situation. He's dead. So there's nothing I can do that can either promote or, you know what I mean, take away from him.
Well, his estate is worth $1.5 billion.
What did his estate do that I know of?
Well, it's been sold off. Well, Sony bought it back. They bought back EMI.
So have I had a problem with Sony? I don't have a problem with Sony. Sony make PlayStation, son. So my thing is, if Michael Jackson was alive and I really had irrefutable evidence that, damn, this dude was sick, I would not support his new music. I would not go to his concerts because I don't want to show my support for him. But some of his, he made Thriller. Michael Jackson made Thriller.
Wow, Dan.
He made Thriller, Phil. We broke.
So do you think Michael Jackson is guilty of the charges against him?
No, man. He made Thriller. Thriller.
So you'd let your children sleep with him?
No.
You're really showing a lot of trash right now.
Why is that trash?
But that's been the excuse from the jump.
I'm not trying to say he's too talented to not be held accountable. That's not what I'm saying.
He made Bump and Grind.
Everyone must be held accountable. Mm-hmm. But me listening to Thriller does not in any way change anything. I don't feel better by telling myself I'm not going to listen to Michael Jackson. Some people may feel better, and if that's your prerogative, cool. I'm not going to tell anyone you must listen to Michael Jackson. What's wrong with you? But for me, I'm like, dude made Thriller. Dude made freaking Dangerous. I'm going to listen to that stuff, and it's got memories attached to it. It's the emotions attached to it that I enjoy in my own time. I probably won't want to subject other people to that. I probably won't play it in public. Mm. You know what I mean? Or for other people, because I realize that maybe other people might be affected. But for me, I'm not affected either way. So why would I, just for the sake of, I don't know, going along with the cancel culture that exists, just like, no, I'm not playing Michael Jackson anymore because he was a sick man.
He was sick though. He was getting back problems and stuff.
Anyway, moving on. I don't know if I'm going to watch Cold Pursuit. Maybe. I might, but
I know if I do watch it, best believe he's not going to see a cent.
Team piracy.
No, we don't support piracy. We'll just go to the cinema. I don't pay at the cinema.
Anyway, okay, which movie will see a cent? Did you even pay for Black Panther, Phil?
Yeah, Black Panther I paid for several times. Black Panther paid for the premiere. That was actually Avengers. Black Panther I paid for it twice. Remember the time I went with Jenny and them?
Yeah.
And then there's another time I deliberately paid for Black Panther. And I deliberately paid for Avengers.
I see here you wanna. Oh, wait. I got this email in my inbox from our friend Liz.
Which one?
Ziva.
Oh, okay. Okay. So,
I consistently see, I think it's Sunday nights, that Our Perfect Wedding is trending on in South Africa and Zim or whatever. So it's coming to Zim. Our Perfect Wedding Zimbabwe. It's going to be on Zimbezi Magic. The reason I brought it up is because
she's giving us free DSTV.
What if, Phil, wait and hear me out.
Okay.
Because apparently they're looking for hosts.
Ooh, hit me now.
What if we give them, do you know the host of Come Dine With Me? You know that snarky color commentary. Mm-hmm. What if we pitch that for Our Perfect Wedding? Because Zim, I don't know if Zim is a very romantic country. I don't know if people are gonna be watching like, wow, that's so beautiful. What if we're like in there and it's like
just throwing shade at people's weddings?
So this bride thinks she's gonna fit in that dress. Okay.
You know how women will hunt you down.
But it will be fire TV though. It'll be fire TV.
Yeah, and it'll be 1 week because week two you'll be dead.
All right. Anyway, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I think about it, Phil. Two Broke Twimbles hosting Our Perfect Wedding. I'm just saying.
But yeah, you know, that actually would be funny. Like, welcome to My Perfect Wedding with my Dan and Phil, and here we are in the upper echelons of Borrowdale with
Maggie
and John.
Former Janimbi girlfriend is getting married to the poor unfortunate soul.
Oh, wait, she didn't tell you about that? Oh, my bad.
Oh, wow, she didn't tell you? We seem to have stumbled upon
something. Ooh, let's let the drama unfold.
I see a fire TV show.
Make sure you're rolling.
Keep the cameras rolling. Because, I mean, who in this country has Jinimi not dated? I'm just saying.
Well, here we are on Sunday. I'm surprised you got up, John, after that crazy bachelor party we had last night. Wow. How many girls were there?
Can someone say Magate? Hello, Bev. Oh, sorry. Well, let the missus didn't know about that.
Let me tell you, in for a fun time. This guy has the stamina of a marathon runner.
You're going to have an amazing marriage, lady. Wait, why do you look like that? It'll be fire, I'm just saying. Anyway.
Yo, we should
pitch. I'm
that's actually hilarious. No. No, we actually should. No, seriously, we should.
Yeah.
We just figure out a way to do it.
And, listen.
But, like, all our payments are going to go to the bodyguards.
And look, if you're planning to get married 2019, 2020.
Yo, Liz, here's an idea. Liz, since we're throwing out ideas, what about Cheetah Zimbabwe? And Dan and I are like Joey Greco.
Yeah, I'm not involved. I'm not in that one.
You bust the wrong person.
I'm not involved. There's too much content.
We are here with Minister X's wife. He said he was in Parliament, but we have traced him down to the Mikkels Hotel. Let's knock on his door.
Let's open the door and see who's there.
Ging, ging, ging.
The maid.
Yeah, I was about to say a famous person's name, but anyway.
What? Here we have a prominent podcast host who is in a long-term relationship, who has claimed that he is currently at Magamba. We have tracked him down to what's that? Popo Lodge. What?
Sadly, she could not join us, but we have her on Skype. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Fire makeup tutorial, but no.
Okay. It's all jokes, guys. If you know, you know. If you don't, it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Wow. Why do we hate to see people happy?
I don't know. It's a bad thing.
It all goes back to sixth grade for you, doesn't it?
I think so. Every time I see like a happy couple, I'm just like, wait till she finds out what he's doing. Even though I know nothing, or vice versa. No, wait till he finds out.
Do you know what we can actually just manufacture? Like, we can create a fake Instagram account, get like a random woman's heavy, and just start throwing thirsty DMs.
Gossip girl, XOXO.
All he has to do is send up like one person respond like, haha, or hi, or you are cute, bam!
But that already exists. Wait, did I see that? I saw on the timeline someone trying to promote, you know, picture of a very pretty girl with a fat badonk donk. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hi, I'm new to Twitter, you know, follow me. I was like, all right, you think we stupid, huh? All right, cool, whatever.
Before I follow,
obviously I followed, but I know it's fake.
You got a Google image search, man. So you followed some 45-year-old man.
No, I just want to see what happens. But I think the account got deleted because I actually tweeted like, you think we stupid, huh? All right, cool. This feels like a trap.
Anyway, yeah, what I did want to discuss as we close out, this is the nerd section. So if you aren't a nerd, goodbye. This is the end of the episode.
I feel like I'm going to leave here as well. Because what you're going to discuss, you see, Phil, you've gone through the marathon. I haven't yet. Can we wait until I've also gone through the marathon? And as we get closer to the launch, then we'll have actual.
Once again, we should hit up Liz. I think this is a good position for us to be in, like, to discuss this program.
Yes. So Phil wants to go on a Game of Thrones rant. But you see, Phil just went on he watched 7 seasons in 3 days. I don't know.
I was sick and had nothing to do, I was depressed.
Damn. I don't know. It's like it was 3 a.m. I'm just hearing either killing sounds or sex sounds from the
I gotta say, lounge. The new home theater I put in the living room sounds amazing.
6 a.m. Phil is there on the couch. Anyway, so let me catch up. Mm-hmm. Then we can properly have an intelligent back and forth.
I think what you'll find, and what I did find, is seasons 1 to 4. Sublime, almost faultless. Like when you understand what the motives of the show, what the motivates are, like the consequences. You know what I mean? And there's so many intricate details. Like the lever, I think, or what I found is D&D or Daniel and David who adapted it from George R. R. Martin's books.
Season 1 to 4 was pretty much not adapted. It was like, no, well, I mean, adapted.
But what they did is, what they were able to do is they had this massive banquet that George R. R. Martin had painstakingly put together, and they were able to chop and change, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And trim it down and get the best parts from the book for TV. Because the books, obviously, there's a lot more fantasy. There's a lot more... It's a lot more convoluted in some instances. Like, it's not easy for, like, a general TV audience. It's very nerdy. You know what I mean? Like, if the real Euron were to be on the TV version, I think a lot of people would be like, eh?
You know, so, what I mean? Okay, what if we did this? See, our two Broke Twibbles listeners, all of us, you know, we can make it as we get ready for the release of Season 8. I believe it's in April.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got about 2 months. 7 seasons to watch. We could get into it. Then, like, you know, at the end of the next couple of episodes, like season 1, season 2, season 3, season 4, then
I can watch it again. I wouldn't mind.
I would mind very much.
Let's watch together then.
Fine, but we won't be on the same timetable.
Do you know the weird thing is, like, there's actually some dude came up with a calendar. He's like, if you watch 2 episodes of Game of Thrones a weekend, if you started 2 weeks ago, you'll be done in time for the premiere. And that was my plan. And then Zimbabwe just bleh, and I was like, yeah, I'm not getting off this couch.
Anyway, I think we can end there. Normally we have a guest or at least a call, but like I said, man, it's been tough. Mm-hmm. It's been tough to motivate ourselves. Yeah. To be 100% honest, I never prepared anyone. I never spoke to anyone. I didn't look for no one.
Mm-hmm.
I was just existing.
Real talk. Jokes aside, Dan and I are actually like we're going through a little some mentally. I think maybe I gave Dan my sads.
No, it's very mild. I mean, don't get it twisted. Like I'm good.
It's not my sads.
I'm good. I don't. You've got your own sads. I have my sads.
You're not crying yourself to sleep at night.
No, not anymore.
You're not having night terrors.
Mm-mm.
Not grinding.
Only when
teeth.
I think of.
You're not grinding your teeth in your sleep like me.
Yo, you know what? I'll tell you what, one day I'm just gonna expose this girl on the timeline.
I saw her
relatively recently.
She's on the timeline?
No, not like that. She's not like popular on the timeline or whatever.
Like, but you guys, like, does she follow you?
Yeah,
you follow
her? Yeah. No, I met her maybe 2 years ago for the first time since junior school.
Wow. You really?
I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow, she still hold, like, wow, you're so sad.
No, I didn't. We were fine.
You've been carrying this for 20 years.
She's an artist now.
Of course, she paints with your pain.
All right, we're going to get out of here.
Your tears are in.
Follow the pages, please. Two Broke Twimbos on Twitter, Two Broke Twimbos on Facebook.
I was
going to
make a point about mental health.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
Yeah.
Sorry. Don't follow the pages yet. Mental health.
Yeah. Serious note. Zimbabwe is tough right now, guys. If you're able to, just speak to someone, get some help. And shout out to the people that, there actually are a few people that have reached out to me personally and on the page, like just discussing mental health issues, and I've directed them to some resources. I am not an expert in any manner, shape or form, but if you do need someone to talk to, I can direct to you. Like, if I know you like that, maybe we can talk about it, but you know, I'm messy.
I wouldn't recommend talking to Phil.
Yeah,
to be honest.
I'm messy, man. Tell me your secrets. I'm going to be like, yo, guess what happened to this dude?
Next thing, it's on the podcast.
So, but yeah, guys, please, whatever you can, look after yourselves. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to, like me, I took a break. I have like a lot of work piled up, but I took a break, watched 7 seasons of Game of Thrones because I needed it.
Back to back.
I powered through those. And let's not forget, I was watching an episode and then I'd go to YouTube, watch an episode recap or reference. And then, like, watch a season cram, then go back to the show. So I was still going through them quickly, but I was still being diligent in how I was watching the episodes. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, guys, take a break. Look after yourself, especially now. I know Valentine's is for some, it's a tough time of the year. If you do feel that you're alone, reach out to us. You know, we're here for you. I genuinely mean that. But if not, then like, just look after yourself. Don't forget that you're your best supporter. You know what I mean?
On that note, actually, in the past couple of weeks, I've heard several stories of people that I thought were fine, but just seem to have, whether they had a mental breakdown of some kind or they just snapped somehow. And I keep hearing stories like this, and I think there's a lot of people with so much pressure on them, so much, and we don't look after our mental health, and next thing you know, you just can't handle it anymore.
Especially, so, especially in this culture, man, we aren't encouraged to talk. Like, I remember, like, the first time I went to see my psychiatrist, and she was like, you know, I never get men willingly come here. I was like, what do you mean? Just like, so like, cause she was asking me like, so why did you decide to come here? And I told her, you know, like, I just wasn't feeling right. You know, like, I'm going through this, this, and the third. And I was explaining like the steps I'd already taken and the stuff I was doing. And she's like, wow. Like, normally, like, the majority of men your age that come here do so because their doctor told them to or their job told them to. Mm-hmm. And it was just weird to me.
Like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Even my doctor was the same thing. Like, so, yeah, you actually want to go see a therapist? Like, you sure you don't want these pills?
Voluntarily?
I'm like, yeah, dog.
Anyway, long story short, it's important to look after your mental health. And there's no stigma attached to it anymore. It's 2019.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Tell you what, it's even got a level of cool to it. We're trying to sell it to these guys, Phil. So we gotta try and remove the stigma so that people feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all the cool kids... They're
getting therapy.
Getting therapy.
That's what's hip with the jive right now.
Hip to the jive.
That's what's up with the groove. You know it's what like, I mean?
Yeah, you're really square if you don't go and.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. That's what they told me at the cool club, the secret clubhouse.
Okay, now I'm gonna say, follow us on the Twitters and the Facebooks. That's Two Broke Twimbles. I'm mm-hmm. Danny, that guy. This is Phil Chard. Mm-hmm. You can find us on the Twitter as well, on the Instagram, and on the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
The website as well. You're welcome to visit it. We're doing a thing on our blog, which is where we post either music that we think is good or interesting for some reason. So Phil the other day was asking me like, why did you post this song? I was like, I don't think it's good. It's just clearly very obviously interesting that someone got Davido on their song. So I want someone to hear and be like, wow, you went and got Davido and got a whole South African producer and this is what you came up with?
Well, it's not so that. Well, Ali Keys is Zimbabwean.
Well, Zimbabwean.
But the song is trash.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But,
so.
You know, like,
if you want to keep up with Zim music, what I'm saying is.
It brings me to another point, though. I respect Davido for his work ethic, but I also, like, sometimes quality control, it's.
Phyllis, someone comes in your face with a big wad of cash.
Quality control.
Yeah. Do you know what? If there's any trash podcasts out there that would like us to feature and would like to pay for that feature, you can speak to me, don't speak to Phil.
Yo, Phil, we booked us with this podcast. Oh, really? Why? Oh, you know, they're great. They're doing good numbers. They're doing great numbers.
I wouldn't even tell you that they paid.
That's a nice shoe you got there. What's going on there?
The other thing is we accept donations, guys. Mm-hmm. Actually, we crave, we beg for donations.
Speaking of donations, shout out to Keen.
I think
Keen is, that must be payola.
Keen is the only guest we've had
that actually paid us
in 4 years of podcasting.
And he paid immediately after the episode dropped.
And he was like, oh, you guys do donations? Bam. Forex Mdata.
Shout out to Keen.
Shout out to Keen, yo.
In unrelated news, I am now the biggest Ja Praiser fan. It's amazing.
We're going to be posting every song of his.
Whatever Ja Praiser does, guaranteed.
So yeah, you can donate at Two Broke Twimbles, or just go on the website. You'll find the donate button everywhere. PayPal is a good way to do so. Mm-hmm. You may also EcoCash. Do we have the
EcoCash? They can hit us privately for that. It's basically our numbers. You can just send it to either Dan or me.
Cool.
And then obviously World Remit.
Don't even see my magic. Chandra World Remit. So you know what? I have an in to make sure that I don't have to
shout
queue.
Out to World Remit. The World Remit is actually very easy to use. Much easier than the Western Union. I was impressed.
Well, I'm trying to get the sponsorship, but well,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying they're easy to use. So yeah, World Remit. Yeah, great service.
I think that's pretty much it. I would recommend, if you're just listening to this episode and this is your first introduction to Two Broke Twimbles, I would highly recommend you go back a couple of episodes and listen to the Tuku tribute episode. Mm-hmm. I was re-listening to it the other day. I was like, damn.
We did it justice.
This is a really good episode. Like, yeah. I got tears in my eyes at the appropriate times and the music was good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, actually, shout out to Sadza. They actually did a good job as well.
They played.
I mean, it wasn't our level, but you know, they tried. You know?
Yeah, it wasn't too shabby.
And I think it was actually the first episode where the audio
was. And then they went back to trash again the last audio. I'm like, guys, I thought you'd figured it out.
Yo, once again, like, if you need help,
with your audio mastery.
I'm cutting it out.
Just hit us up. We got you. We got you.
We support each other here. You know what? Y'all should listen to Saturday morning as well.
I'm going to raise that because people actually think we're beefing with them, and I find it so hilarious.
We're kind of sort of joke beefing.
No, guys. Mugudze and Nick, those are actually my... When I was moving back to Zim, and I was trying to figure out like how to work with creatives, the first people I hit up were Mugudze and Nick.
Well, I mean, you hit me up, but...
I don't care about you.
Living by my house, but it's fine.
Oh, by your house?
Well, it was my house at the time.
By the way, guys, rent has been demanded in US dollars.
We got the letter this week.
So we might be homeless.
As of next month, we'll be expecting rent in US dollars. Oh, we laughed long and hard.
So Dan and I might be homeless next month. So if there are any listeners, preferably middle-aged women who are single, who are willing to take us in as we get ourselves back on our feet, hit us up. We're not joking.
I laughed hard. But you wanted in which currency? Thank you. All right.
Bam. Imagine waking up and rent has been quadrupled. Like, bam. Quadrupled with that.
Anyway. All right. We gotta go now. Yeah. Usual. What subscribe, like, follow. Let's play out with
Garden.
Winky D and Gemma Griffiths.
All right. Let's do that. In the garden. Speaking of, if you're a young and up and coming artist, if you're good, send us your music, hit us up. Don't blindly tag us on Twitter because we're not going to pay attention to it. Hit us up via email or spark a conversation and then send it to us. Just don't tag us because I hate people that do that.
Yeah.
Hit us up and then because we're bringing the music segment back, we figured out a way around it and we're going to make sure that we promote these young artists. So yeah.
So this one is a special dedication to Gemma. It's a song by Gemma.
Mm-hmm. This one goes out to the special lady that took me to the Walter Sisulu Gardens once. you know who you are.
On that note, be out.
Gemma. Gemma.
Channel.